Satisfy you. Welcome to Notcast, episode 356, Pure Bullshit. I'm Saverin.
I'm Shiva.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And we are having hookah again in Shiva's lovely house with two microphones right now. We're using an application that might crash on us partway through, but we won't know until it happens.
Two microphones and five hookahs.
Yep.
Say frequently is the
going to be the order of the day. It has been yet another week. Shiva was able to join us this time now that she is out of the Fiesta layout mines. Did you succeed in laying out the mighty, mighty den and all that space?
Yep. New hotel, new logistics problems, all that happy horse shit. I really like how the final layout came out this year, and it's got some room for expansion. Really happy that we're going to have it in one room this year, because two was kind of...
Having split rooms doesn't work out that well, I've found.
It works, but not great. It's a lot more work. You have to have pretty much double the staff and more, so...
The way it worked for... So, starting last year at FC... this year... God, I say last year because I mean last FC I went to, which was in 2017. They had two rooms also because they moved to some space in the convention center that they're attached to.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it worked out a little better for them, it seemed, as far as staff goes, was their entrance to the dealer's room was like there was like one hall that you passed through and had dealer on once on the left, viewers on the right, and I think Artist Alley was like further down. And they had one guard sitting at a chair at the end of the hall. So basically they just had to have that one person to check badges to access the whole hall, which was where all the selling was in that one hall.
Well, that's going to be kind of how it works at Fiesta this year. There's one giant ballroom. Half of it is going to be me. Half of it is going to be our social space, the corral. So, but there's one kind of, they're going to basically door guard for both. And so I don't have to just, you know, it's not going to be on my shoulders necessarily this year. So... It'll be further up the hall, and just basically the entire area is going to be checked. And Artist Alley is going to be... So basically, Fiesta is going to have three floors this year. There's going to be the very bottom floor, which is the basement. So you come in, and that's lobby level. Mm-hmm. You go up one level, and that's going to have panel rooms, that's going to have the restaurants, that's going to have a lot of... meeting and greeting places. Lobby level is going to have like main ballroom, secondary ballroom. It's going to have the fursuit, play area, more just a lot of like the ballroom stuff where you need big rooms to do stuff in. And then the bottom floor is going to be den. It's going to be the corral. It's going to be Artist Alley, and it's going to be art show. I think we're going to have a secondary fursuit lounge down there, so if people get hot in the corral, they can go cool off, and you know we'll have like our operating center down there.
How's phone connectivity on the ground floor?
So far, really good. We walked, so I managed to get pretty much everybody to come down with a phone, except somebody with Sprint, and everybody had, you know, 4 or 5 bars, decent connectivity.
Okay.
Seemed really good.
Yeah.
That's good.
That was one concern of mine, not for this con, but the other cons where the dealer's room has been on a lower level, connectivity has just totally sucked ass.
Well, and
like FWA.
And it is and is not on a lower level. Because the whole hotel is on a hill. Like you walk in ground floor on lobby level, but the level where we're going at, which is one down, actually has street access.
Right.
So it is not below ground. Like it's there's a slope.
Yeah. The one year I was at FWA and had really shit connect was a year that they were in a hotel where the dealer's room used to be the concrete parking garage.
That's what this is. This used to be a parking garage that they converted over. They
converted it. And because of like the thickness of all the concrete around us, it really inhibited the
signal. And that was my concern, which is why when we were going down there to get accurate measurements, because we went down there with like laser measures and everything else, and we took to do basically a CAD drawing of the area. I had people come down. Okay, you have this one, you have this carry, you got this carry. Everybody come down with their phones and see, you know, how this picks up, because the dealers are going to need to take payment, and that's usually done via Square.
Yeah.
So.
And I noticed at Anthrocon, I think I noticed this before too, but our credit card sales were higher than our cash sales.
And that's trending that way.
So, and it's trending that way, yeah, because it's just so convenient.
And I don't know about... I feel weird carrying around a wad of cash, because if I drop that wad of cash, you know, I'm fucked. Where, I suppose if you drop a card, you're also fucked, yeah. But...
It seems like the vast majority of dealers have Square or PayPal, little thing, or something,
yeah,
you know, that can allow them to take cards now.
And there's a lot of banks where they have their own native app, like the one we use for Fiesta. The bank just gives us an app and card readers, and we swipe and it connects directly to our bank accounts. We don't have to go through Square or any third party bullshit. It's just part of our banking services.
Like, I think Chase has a thing.
They do.
The Chase Mobile
thing. Because I went around a couple years ago when we were having problems with Fiesta's bank. And I got pissed off at them, and I'm still fucking pissed off at them. Because I keep losing my account info and turning off my card.
You're only the primary named individual in the account. Why would they keep your information
handy? I don't know. So I went around and I talked to Wells Fargo. I talked to Chase. I talked to, I think Bank of America. Like the big boys. And I said, okay, do you guys, this bank offers us this. Do you guys have this? Yes, they do. All three of them offered it. So, so that's.
I just remember the other question I was going to ask you. So, like, one wall will be a physical wall, and the other wall will be an air wall. Mm-hmm. Is it a fabric air wall?
Yes.
Okay. So depending on.
They're closer to the old style, like at the Crown, where it's not like the accordion folds, they're more like big panels that slide and click together.
Because I was thinking, depending on if you get a table on the air wall side, one year we had a real bitch of a time hanging posters on the fabric.
Here's the thing.
Go out and buy the Velcro instead.
We can't hang anything on any walls at this hotel. Nothing. Everything has to be freestanding.
Oh, that's a major problem. Shit.
Well, with the layout of room, I only have one wall that people can hang on anyways, even remotely, just with the way the walls work in the room, because you've got the air wall, and then all the other walls have doors and weird bump outs or a curve or a squiggle. So the only thing that's abutting a wall is going to be the ones up against the air wall. So they're fuzzy anyways, and but the hotel has already told us don't hang anything on the wall.
Wow.
I can't.
Not even Velcro?
Nope. Wow. I know. Trust me.
Because, like, that's our primary display thing. We don't have the banners and shit. We have,
I know. And I'm going to be, that's going to be part of the whole thing that I send out is people are basically going to have to either bring, like, PVC frames or something to hang stuff off of. Unless I can get the hotel to budge, which I'm fighting with. There's a couple things I'm fighting with them about.
Yeah. Well, if they included a pipe and drapes, that would make a difference. Some convention hotels do that. They, and then you can just hang shit off of the drape and weight it down, I guess.
They do, but it's really expensive. Really expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pipe and drape. It's like, oh, it's X per hour, and then it's Y per square foot, and Z teardown, and they have to do it, and you can't touch it, and fuck you.
Like, you've had to deal with this. You've seen the pricing.
Yeah. Like, apparently Shane was supposed to have pipe and drape at HavenCon this year, and the hotel ended up just not putting it up. Because I asked him if there was a wall behind me, and he said no. And then you saw that we had gone, like, we totally could use that fucking wall.
Yeah.
But, so, lesson learned. I'm just going to bring my posters and tape anyway, because then when you actually get on site, sometimes shit's different than what people thought it would be beforehand.
Yeah. Well, they're telling me, no, don't hang anything on the wall, so...
We'll see.
This is the first general manager's fucking body on the wall. You can hold my posters.
Yeah, and you know, you get told one story, and then no, they actually don't care that much. So
they want you to pay extra for wall privileges.
Maybe, and it could be that somebody else ruined them once earlier, and then they say no more. So all it takes is someone doing something really expensive damage, and then not paying for it, and they nix it a lot.
Yeah.
They don't want to pay for it.
Well, we have plenty of space behind the table.
For the air walls, there's basically 5 feet from the pillar, and then there's space between the pillar and the wall. I'll have to show you this later on, but yeah. I built in 5 feet behind the tables.
Sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. So it's about 5 feet from the weird gapping that comes with the air wall and the pillars, and then it's about the same in the middle, too, for the other rows. And that still gives you, like, a six, I think it's about 13 or 14-foot walkway between the two rows.
So that gives plenty of room for people and first aiders to walk.
Because that's a perennial problem for us at Const, is, like, all of our stock is in boxes, and it's heavy and takes up a lot of space.
And you'll be interested in this. We're going to let a couple people have three tables this year.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. You've been asking me for that for how many years?
Yeah, a couple.
Yeah.
Just because Fiesta is so busy.
And you have so much merch.
Well, Soulful doesn't have a table there, so like we bring all of our Soulful stock, too. And we also like to have the occasional author back there to sign and everything, so it can get a little crowded. We've been lucky the last couple of years. Like, this year, we were next to Rukus, and Kyle and Rukus have worked together on a number of projects now.
Quite a few.
So basically, Kyle just kind of hung out kind of on behind Rukus's table. So when we sold a Kyle Gold book, we were just like, and the author is right there next to us.
And there's the cover artist also right there next to you. So if you want the sign, there's the art, there's the writer, and then there's the cover artist. Go get him signed.
She did the whole Dangerous Spirits series, Love Match, and she co-arted the last Out of Position book with Kent Kett. So, yeah, she's done a bunch. I think she's also done Camouflage as well, which is Kyle's Patreon novel, which isn't out in print yet, but like, they've been working on shit for a long time, which is cool.
So,
yep. So, I'm still waiting for the last couple pricings from the hotel. They do things completely different from the last couple places, so.
Seems like that's the rule.
Every time you change a hotel, everybody's slightly different, and especially since we're changing brandings. I mean, the Crown Plaza was one company. You know, they were the Crown Plaza, and they were, I think, part of Marriott?
No, they're part of IHC. They're owned by Holiday Inn.
Yeah.
And the Intercontinental's owned by Holiday Inn, by IHC as well.
But yeah, but they're slightly different markets.
It's a different division. Yeah, Crown, I think, is China to us. Well, I guess it's their mid-scale market, and Intercontinental is their higher-end market. Yeah.
But it's not like we're going from Hyatt to Hyatt, you know, or things like that. We're going from one branding of hotel to another branding of hotel to now this is a third branding of hotel. So everybody's got their different rules. At least if we move from Hyatt to Hyatt, they might be a lot more similar than, you know, what we're looking at now. But looking at the size of hotels, wherever we go after after this Hyatt, I don't know where it would be, because, or it would be the Sheraton. It would be yet another chain. I don't think there's a larger Hyatt for us to move to after this.
Yeah.
Not here.
Because that's a huge, yeah, the new place is fucking huge. And it's like a Dallas landmark. It's actually, I don't know, it feels like it's kind of a feather in a Const cap. We're at this massive, like, part of the skyline fucking building, you know?
We're underneath the big ball.
Big balls. Singular. Big ball. Haha.
I'm really looking forward. I love the hotel. I know I said that many times before, but I love this hotel. It's really pretty. And so long as they don't kill us on nickel and diming fees, it looks like a good time.
Yeah, but, yes, it'll be interesting. I'm going to have to get a fucking hotel room. Well, we usually do, but I'm going to have to stay in the hotel this year.
Yeah, because it's a little further away.
Yeah, the Intercontinental was like a 10-minute drive. And, I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to stay home. Yeah, I just, the first couple years I did it, it was more that I just never got around to packing. So it's like, well, I guess I'll stay home another night. And then that just turned out to be the whole weekend.
Yeah.
I will say, I hope that, just from doing a couple of, like, our tours and such, the beds at the Hyatt seem a lot more comfortable than the Intercontinental. The Intercontinental's beds are so hard. I mean, they were... But these felt like nice, soft beds, you know.
So, I got some good news today.
Oh?
So, it turns out I didn't fuck up hard when it came to purchasing my car.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned last week I bought my Audi A6. It's used. It's 11-year-old. Has 100,000 miles on it, right? And basically, it's kind of a gamble, especially buying from these little used-ass dealerships that they... Mm-hmm. It's just a little shady, little sketch, you know? And when you pay cash, it's like, yo, it's your fucking problem now, pal. Well, I went and took it to Lord of the Rings, which is a great title for a shop that specializes in specifically VW and Audi, because they're both owned by the same company.
Yeah.
And turns out, I didn't fuck up. The guy was like, yo, this is in really good shape, considering its age and mileage. It has a couple of relatively minor issues, but all things considered, you lucked out. So my fancy-ass luxury station wagon is actually doing okay.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta replace one of my front left tire. It had a bad patch job done, so it leaks air a little bit.
Yeah.
So it needs a new tire, but other than that, that's really...
Yeah.
I mean, it does total to be about $1,000 for the various parts and labor, but...
The car seems to run great, though.
Yeah, the guy is like, this car was owned by an adult. And I'm like, great, because I drove it and liked it, and I'm really fond of it.
Yeah.
It's super nice, the AC's real cold, it's got all these nice little features. Then I just spent $30 to get one of those little mini FM transmitters so I take over a low band and listen to my music on it.
Yeah.
Without having to have the multi-hundred-dollar Audi MMI interface that the car didn't come with.
Right.
Because the owner got the 6-disc CD changer as opposed to the other audio interface.
Yeah.
So that's great.
We were talking
10 years ago.
It was in 06. It's a year before the iPhone came out.
Yeah. So,
like, there were smartphones, but they weren't as ubiquitous as they are now.
So, I mean, all things considered, we lucked out. The guys like this, you didn't get a lemon, so good. You lucked out.
Yeah.
Because it could have been real bad. That was one of those, all right, I'm going to just go for it. And it worked out.
Shoot, but real quick, I'm just curious to notice that white thing mounted on the ceiling over there. Is that part of Wi-Fi or...
Oh, no, that's a glass break for the alarm system. So if somebody comes and smashes those windows, it'll detect the break sound and shut off the alarm.
Okay.
It's a sensor. It's an interface. I bumped the table. Sorry, guys. So one of the cool things we're doing this week that you'll still hear a bit of hookah because Fuzz and Shiva have the hookah over there at the Yeti, but I also have Fuzz's blue snowball, and we're using a program called Voice Meter, M-E-E-T-E-R, to basically record from two inputs and trick Audacity into thinking it's one.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, so good. It seems to have worked, though. Fuzz is a little quiet, so...
You're just a quiet, sensitive wolf.
$350 fine. And for once, Shiva's actually coming across pretty loudly, so that's good.
Well, I think he's talking a little quieter tonight.
Yeah, he's like all relaxed. Why are you being so relaxed, Buzz? It's like you got a hookah hose all to yourself. And not having to share, you jerk. So, other than that, it's really
not... Would you like sing my hose, whatever?
It's easier if Shiva passes me hers.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, baby. Shiva's hose.
Puff, yeah. Pass.
Well, you know, she has a tar. She's got her own hose.
Did you tell Shiva about the thing you told me about last week? Was it
no.
The spider tar or something?
Oh, God.
What did they call it?
It was, Drider?
No, it was a... Fuck, it was a tarantula.
Yeah.
So it was a wolf... So it was a spider body, so it had the 8 legs, and then it had the torso, but the torso also had 4 arms on each side, so it was like this 16-legged monstrosity of a tar.
What?
Oh, actually, so the summer anime season has started.
I saw the tar.
The tar. And... Japan has finally answered the question how a centaur would wear a swimsuit.
I saw that
and
picture.
And a track suit. A tarak suit. It is like their clothing designs for this centaur girl are really kind of dumb. Like, they didn't think their cunning plan. I don't think they thought it really that through. It's like, all right, well, does she have multiple sets of genitalia or just the horse set? What's going on here? Why does she have a full body tracksuit covering the entirety of her horse torso in addition to like the other clothing on her human torso? This is this is weird, but it's
just have a horse pussy hanging out there.
Yeah. The show is called A Centaur's Life, and it's a slice of life thing, but all the characters, like, they're angels or demons or centaurs or merfolk or this, that, and the other. It's more in line with Interviews with Monster Girls than Monster Musume. So, if you watch anime, you know what I just said, and if not, you're like, the fuck is he talking about?
I know Monster Musume just because don't fuck the snake.
Yeah, Monster Musume is the... harem comedy full of titty, whereas Interview with Monster Girls is like a teacher learning to how to accommodate students with different needs. It's kind of like, hey, we're determining how we can accommodate special needs students. But
I need to come all the time. Like Arnold Schwarzenegger lifting weights. I need to just always be coming. Will you help me?
Okay, well, you know, it's for science. But the first episode's pretty cute. It has some weird, like, social commentary thing that I'm not sure what's going on with. Because they're like, equality is mandatory, and talking about the past where, like, centaurs were oppressed and used as mounts is, like, illegal. And riding a centaur will get you sent to a re-education camp or something like that. So it's like, even if it's willing, if it's consensual riding... So, I don't know what's going on with that. It's pretty cutely animated. It's weird because it's a Chinese co-production with Japan, which is starting to become more of a thing. Because, you know, China has, you know, 1.5 billion people, and a bunch of them are animators. Gosh darn Chinese taking our South Korean animation jobs for Japanese cartoons. Oh, it's a tangled ass web, for sure.
I hear this show is horrific.
Or you have a Japanese dub of a Chinese version of a Taiwanese puppet show. Yeah.
Translated in English.
Subtitled in English. Yes. It's called Thunderbolt Fantasy. It was this puppet show, and it was fucking cool. It came out like a year ago. There's a couple other neat shows coming out this season, but not like, I gotta tell you all about it. Like, the centaur one's cute. Mm. There's one where it's one of those reborn in another world. Like, the main character is this mecha otaku who dies in a stupid way. And he gets reborn into a world of knights and magic and mecha. And he is this prodigy, and all the people love him, and yada yada. It's very much the main character is this kind of Mary Sue-ish kind of guy so far.
Mm-hmm. And he woke up in another world.
And he was drowning in pussy. Yeah, this kid's like 12 and drowning in pussy already.
So I was listening to our last podcast on the left. Today I discovered that there is a town called Greece, Oklahoma. So I'm just like...
Really? Oh, you're listening to the Oklahoma City Part 3?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm partway through that one.
So I listened to it all, and, like, they're talking about these white supremacist groups, the Timothy McVeigh got involved in and stuff like that. But I love that the guys are just completely ripping on them. They're like, these bunch of fucking morons, this is what they believe. So, like, yeah, no sympathy for
these devils.
The Nazis and KKK and other white supremacist groups on this show.
So, or, and like, they're ripping on the gun show where they're like, these guys, if you somehow can't cross a fucking parking lot without having a loaded gun, you can do that as long as you hand them the ammunition before going inside.
Yeah.
So it's like, you walk from your car with your loaded gun just in case some person that's darker than a fucking paper bag pops out and tries to get you.
Yeah. And the thing is that you're walking into probably the area with as much more loaded guns in your close vicinity as any other time in your life. Because all the other crazies around you are also carrying.
But they're the same kind of crazy.
Yeah, clearly they will never...
There's a great comedy video about where all these people in a bar, they're all armed. And like, no, I'm the good guy here because I'm expressing freedom. No, I'm the good guy here because I'm the independent business owner protecting my bar. And like, so they're all pointing guns at each other. And
I'm the good guy with a gun.
They're the good guy with the gun. And the only guy to catch shot is the unarmed black guy all the way in the back. And then the white police officer walks in. And he arrests the black guy.
And bleeding, like, on the floor.
Thank you, citizens, for being a good guy with the gun.
God.
So I have other good news. And this is our asshole news segment.
Yay.
So Milo Yiannopoulos labels low sales of dangerous memoir fake news.
Oh, yeah.
Right winger said his book, self-published after he was dropped by Simon & Schuster, and sold 100,000 copies, but data shows fewer than 20,000 sales.
So, further, the UK sales of that were under 1,000 copies.
Oh my god.
Yeah, like, they were like, this news displeases me, it is fake. No, this is sales data from, like, inclusive of Amazon. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, 20,000 copies is a lot more than a lot of books love or sell. But from a blowhard like that fucker,
mm-hmm.
who has his little cult of man babies online,
yeah.
then, you know, it turns out, hey, they don't have much money. They're very loud and very shrieky, but there's not actually a ton of them.
Yeah. So that was good news.
Yeah, it's... That guy, he's, like, suing them because reasons.
You have to make money somehow.
But... Yeah.
Who's suing who?
He's suing Simon and... Milo is suing Simon and Schuster for $10 million for them dropping his ass after he was like, you know, actually, pedophilia is kind of fine. And yeah. And everyone is like, actually, no, and your book thing is canceled.
I'm pretty sure a lot of, like, big contracts like that probably have cancellation clauses in there to, if you do anything that affects the reputation of the business, they can cancel the contract. That's pretty common.
Yeah, so, it's...
I mean, if they have something like that in his contract, then he's fucked.
He, one of those people that I totally fine with going into obscurity, him and his Screeching Frog buddies.
You know, I've heard a lot less about him since he got banned from Twitter and stepped down from Breitbart.
Yeah. So, I will have to say also that people getting mad about Disney... And deciding that this is going to be the hill they die on amuse me. So this happened earlier today. Fuzz and I were discussing it at dinner.
Yeah.
So the Disney Pirates of the Caribbean ride has been more or less the same since like the 60s or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're making a change to one of the scenes. And this has incensed people. So one of the scenes apparently is an auction of the booty that these pirates have claimed. And one of the things involved is a woman who is slung over the shoulder of one of the pirates, kicking and going and being going towards the auction with the sort of implication, haha, she's going to be a sex slave. And they're changing it so that the woman is now going to be part of the is like one of the auctioneers. They're basically changing it so that the whole implied sex slavery is just gone from the scene. And I actually saw someone who was like, oh, fucking SJWs, about the fact that they're changing a scene to be less rapey. less implied implication this woman's going to be chained to a bedchamber in a galleon and fucked until the pirates throw her overboard or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is the hill you're going to die on? I mean, choosing a hill to die on does imply you are going to die.
But this one?
This one? Really? I don't know. I mean, obviously, and the thing is, it's not even like Disney changing The Lion King or Disney changing a movie. They're literally changing a fucking ride.
A 60-year-old ride.
You know, having been on that ride, like, several times, since the little before, and I've gone down there quite a bit, there's so much going on in Pirates of the Caribbean. Have you ever been?
No. Okay. I have never been this to a single, like, Disney park.
This shit is amazing. I swear Disney has access to Time Warp technology, because, like, this building looks kind of on the small side. You go the line, snakes you through this, like, cave system and stuff, and you get into the ride, and, like, there's so much detail and so much going on that, like, you'll be looking at one pirate's doing one thing, and then, like, oh, no, over here, there's, like, a whole other thing, and, like, you're, like, a good 20 feet away from, like, an entire building where you can see in the windows and see these characters running around. You know, I bet there's, like, a lot of people didn't even notice this scene. I mean, you know, it's one of those experiences where you see different things every time you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's changing the whole feel of the ride or anything like that. I mean, it really is a minor detail that you may not have even noticed.
I'm surprised they even announced the change.
Yeah, I was actually curious if they even did or someone found out about it. Do you know, Saverin? Did Disney announce this change, or did somebody just find out about it and make a stink about it?
I think they just kind of, like, updated a scene, and then somebody noticed and made a stink. Like, it's literally...
Yeah, I wouldn't announce.
This is, like...
Some fanboy of the Pirates of the Caribbean who knows every...
There are totally people that will go to... They have, like, Disney season passes, and they go every goddamn week.
Yeah, I mean, and, I've been, like, two or three times.
I mean,
but when
I had a Six Flags season pass, I went, like, five times in a year.
Yeah.
I mean, that certainly paid for it, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's not excessive.
But, like, these people are hardcore. Well, it's like they changed the Tower of Terror to be, Guardians of the Galaxy themed, apparently.
Oh.
And that caused conniptions. And I'm like, what the fuck, guys?
Oh, the other thing I was going to say about Pirates of the Caribbean... The end part, like, you come out of the little village, right? Like the, you know, where Jack Sparrow was hanging out in the movies. And you basically come out into what looks like open water. And, like, you cannot see the coastline on the other side. And there's a big-ass pirate ship being fired on in the middle of this sea. And you look up and you see sky. And this is all in this building. I mean,
yeah.
It's, and I know it's all light and shadows and projectors and visual tricks and stuff like that, but it just, it looks so amazing that you kind of round this bend and all of a sudden you're looking on this ocean scene that looks like
it's really the
fucking ocean. And it's really amazing.
Hmm.
The other one that was really, really cool was the Spider-Man ride at Universal.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So the concept is that you're in like a trolley car or some kind of tourist car. You're being shown around New York, right? And then various villains from the Spider-Man universe start attacking and you're the civilians caught in crossfire. So there's a scene where, like, your car has been picked up and dropped. So it looks like you're hurtling towards the ground. And then Spider-Man's web, like, fills your view. And the car goes, just stops.
Like boyoing.
Yeah, yeah. And it feels so fucking real. And then he carefully puts you back down and safe. Like, it's...
So you got to be saved by Spider-Man.
Yeah, it's really cool. And the Back to the Future ride, I'm sad that they stopped doing the Back to the Future ride a few years ago, but you're in these little mini DeLoreans, and there's a scene where you travel back in time to the dinosaur era, and the DeLorean flies into the mouth of a T-Rex. So it goes... Everything around you goes completely dark, and then the car shakes violently from side to side like the dinosaur is shaking its head with mm-hmm. you in the mouth. And then you get spit out, and it's temporarily damaged the hover converter. So the car is hurtling into an active volcano, and you actually start feeling the heat and everything. And then the hover converter kicks back in, so there's this jerk, it's like, and then you start propelling out of the volcano.
Yeah.
It's that ride was so fucking good. And they shot, like, the original cast shot all these extra scenes. Like, it was like Doc Brown and Biff, I think, are in it. Like, the concept is Biff steals one of the DeLoreans from Doc Brown's, like, time traveling university. And you're a bunch of students that are going to follow in this other mini DeLorean that he's designed. So you have to chase Biff through time and space. And if you bump one DeLorean with another, it'll send you both back to your point of origin. Mm. So the idea is that you're trying to catch up to Biff and bump his DeLorean with yours. And so points in the game, you see the other DeLorean like flying in front of you whoosh, through time and stuff like that.
Mm.
Anyway, it was really cool. Like, Disney and Universal just, it's so much about the experience that they throw so much money at it that it really feels very immersive.
Good. I hope to go someday. Like, I want to go to Disney World and Universal and all that once.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't had a chance to go, but, you know, if I ever get out to L.A.
Or Orlando. I would say go to Orlando, because Disney World is bigger than Disneyland, and you also have Universal and Islands of Adventure and a couple of other
Animal World thing. And
Epcot Center and yeah. Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, plus also you're not in the goddamn middle of L.A.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, you know, there's probably some folks out on the West Coast that, like, you know, I'm sure Disneyland has cool shit also. I just happen to grow up in Florida, so...
You're biased.
It's not that I'm biased. It's more that I've seen those parks and can speak very highly of the experience. I mean, be prepared to spend like $50 for a hamburger. So, yeah.
I mean, if you're paying for the experience, you're going to be paying for the experience.
And make sure you remember what cartoon character you're parked in.
Oh?
Well, like, all the parking lots are named after...
Oh, yeah, I'm parked deep inside Minnie Mouse.
Like, are you going to be parked in Goofy?
Parked in Simba. That's right.
Maybe.
Could be. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, quick, are you a Disney fan? Tell us the name of the sexiest parking lot to be deep inside.
And, like, you don't... At least when I was going, I don't think you got a choice. It was just like they direct you and direct you and direct you, and you just end up.
Yeah.
Like, it's like when you're going to a concert and the guys with cones are like.
Yeah, they're literally like. The thing is, it's such a.
Shit down to a science.
Yeah, it's such a machine at this point.
And then they have a little tram that takes you to the monorail, that takes you to the park that you want to go to.
And then,
Oh, your hair looks so pretty!
Yeah, Sarah just stopped by.
The pretty husky and his pretty. Pretty hair.
So what are you like a man?
I'm a petted. Good pupper.
Wanders off. Though
his hair is nice and long.
Panther's is still longer, but he's also been working on it for a decade.
Well, he's gotten trimmed, but since we got together, he hasn't, like, cut his hair pretty much beyond just a trim, so...
Yeah,
and we just passed 5 years, so that's 5 years worth of growth minus trims.
So
it takes time for.
Yeah, but long hair can be a bitch to keep in good shape.
Mm-hmm.
I always just got annoyed putting it in a ponytail and then having that one hair that you could never find that was pulled really hard on your scalp. You're just like, is it this one? No. Is it this one? No. And then. Half your hair is out of the ponytail, it's still there.
Yeah.
Like,
Well, for me,
I just never got really good at it.
My hair curls, so I get the little swoops on the side, and that gets me misgendered a lot.
Uh-huh.
And so basically,
you look like fucking Daphne from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, from the back at least.
Yeah.
It's like, ma'am, you turn around and beard.
Beard.
Well, that happens to my hair, too. I think that happens to everybody, but you just...
Unlike Siam.
Letting it grow past that point.
And then it straightens out.
Yeah, straightens it out.
Well, Siam, short hair, long hair, no hair, scruff, doesn't matter. He gets misgendered a lot. A lot.
It's one of those, doesn't bug me, but I just kind of keep the hair short in the summer anyway, because fucking cooler. Texas.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm like, you know, if I like, want to lose a few pounds, I'm going to get a haircut. Leave a couple pounds of hair.
Yeah.
A little rug on the floor of the...
I haven't done that in a while, but
what, it's all right. Your hair?
Yeah. I used to have a short ponytail for a little while, but I haven't actually grown it out in a long time.
So it's not super long here, but so we got these new batches of work about a year ago, and instead of having everybody come in and take a new photograph, they just upscaled the old ones. So I've been at this job nearly 10 years.
I remembered when you looked like that.
Wow.
So you see my hair is quite a bit longer now.
Yeah, that's about you, about 10 years younger.
That's 2007 Fuzz Wolf.
Well, yeah, 2007 Fuzz had longer hair and more of it. But such is life.
When's your 10-year anniversary?
September 10th.
Oh.
That's cool.
So you're going to get your 10-year service award, assuming they still do that.
Yeah.
And your 10-year services, good job, high five, get out.
Yeah, because you got your 5-year, yeah. So they still did that others. Oh, I remember, we had just bought the house, so I got a shop vac for my 5-year employee gift. Adulting.
We've got a nice deep fryer, except it didn't work when I tried it.
Oh. What was it?
A deep fryer.
Oh, a deep fryer.
Yeah.
By everything on... Of course, we didn't try it for like over a year after we got it. So right. I don't know if it worked and then it didn't work or because it got dropped or what. But a year later, we're kind of fucked. We should have tried it as soon as we got it. And Sarah's here just doing, you know...
yeah.
Not speaking.
Puppies are to be seen and not heard.
Yep.
Sarah, grab his ass.
Okay.
Yeah, you moved into Shiva range.
Yep. Oh.
Run away.
Flails and runs.
Can you hand me another hookah tip? Mine got dropped.
Fell off the ground? What? You don't want dog hair?
No, it's underneath where you're sitting. And yeah. I don't have to...
Excuse me.
Oh.
Yeah, Sarah dropped it. It fell.
Oh.
Also, this couch is kind of eaty.
Yeah, it is very eaty. It's a very comfy couch.
And see, this is why I'm perching on this duvet. Ottoman, whatever.
Duvet is a comforter.
Whatever the fuck this is. English. Ha, words. Anyways.
God, duvets are like the worst thing. Did you ever have one?
Well, I've had comforters, but, I mean, what's the difference between a comforter and a duvet?
So, take, like, the middle of a comforter. So, it's a very... It looks like a combination of pillow and comforter. So, it's very plain, very... It's, like, the same material, like, that smooth material.
Mm-hmm.
And a duvet, you're supposed to basically put giant pillowcase on it. So imagine trying to stuff a comforter into a giant pillowcase, and then you pin it shut. You know, sometimes there's buttons, sometimes there's Velcro or a zipper. But okay. Then, once you have it in there, there's nothing to hold the comforter in place.
We had those back in Britain.
Yeah. I had them over in Oz. And then they surf all over the inside of this goddamn...
Yeah, and the whole thing is so smooth that, like, you lose the corner of your duvet inside the cover.
So you kind of have to dig inside of it, grab an edge, shake it so it's all the way up. Because you'll have just... Basically, like, all the comforter will be down, like, around your waist and knees. So from, like, the waist up, all you have is pillowcase.
Yeah, this nice, thin pillowcase.
And you're cold. So then you have to kind of reach down, fish up the inside, the comforter from the inside. So you can change the outside cover all you want. It can look completely different.
And still be uncomfortable.
And still be very uncomfortable and fucking annoying as all get out.
So speaking of Britain, You know, I don't know if they call them this in Oz, too, but footrests or ottomans are called poofs.
I don't know. I didn't run into any poofs over there, so they might.
Which is also a gay slur. So I don't know why it was the same word, but it was called a poof.
You put your feet up on gay people? I don't know. Know your place, footrest.
Some guys are into that.
Some girls, too. I've seen the porn of it.
Human furniture. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do not understand. But, whatever. Teach their own.
I saw a short video of that not long ago where someone was like, this is so hot. And I watched it. It was a girl. She was completely bound in this, like, black latex. And she had the arm bind where they bind you, so you basically have one big arm. Mm-hmm. And it was behind her back. And the guy is like just sort of slowly winching, so it's like pulling her arms and her bound legs around, and she's kind of moaning, yelping in what sounds like pain, which you can't, it's hard to tell because her mouth and face are completely covered as well. And I'm just like it's weird how I can like one kind of pain, but then you see a different kind of pain and you're like, that looks really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
like, sexuality is interesting.
Yeah. Well, that was another thing I saw recently. It's like, you know how you like orgasming, right? Yeah. Well, what if you didn't orgasm? Whoa.
What?
You're talking orgasm denial?
Like orgasm denial as a kink? Or it's like, you know how you like orgasming, right? Yeah. What if you didn't? Whoa. Dude. That's not my thing. No, I like coming.
I understand it to a point, but I'm more orgasm control, not outright denial. There's a big difference. It involves finishing eventually. Eventually being the word.
Right.
Versus, well, nope, none for you.
And then you have the thing like the chastity cages and stuff like that. That's all orgasm denial too. And then you apparently eventually let them come and it's amazing.
Yeah. But that's the whole thing. Eventually, there is a end to this. Not just no.
I've seen things on Twitter where people clearly got in way over their head.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, the number of retweets is how long my pet or whatever has to stay in his cage. In cop cage. And like, or how many days.
10 million retweets later.
Yeah, and it's like, well, that the one I saw was like 700 and something days. I was like, are you really going to keep a block at the cop cage for over 2 years?
That does not sound like fun.
No. Like, at some point we crossed the viability threshold for this, and at this point, relationship over, fuck you, never mind. It's like, actually, I'm not going to do that with you for that long, because, no. Well.
And I've seen guys do it to themselves, and I have to wonder if they're like, you know what, I'm rethinking this.
It's like, I didn't think, who knew that putting my dick's fate in the hands of the internet was a bad idea?
Right, and because, you know, people like to fuck with people, be people that don't even know the guy or anything, or like retweeting it, like, I don't know, everyone retweeting this.
Yeah, so.
Kinks, they're fine.
Kinks are weird, but they're, you know. It's such a hard discussion, too. It's like, what are you into? It's like, well, this. Why? I don't know. Because I am.
I knew a guy that was into Wham. W-A-M. Wet and Messy. Which, he actually had a kiddie pool set up in a corner or one room. And I was like, what's that about? And he explained it. It's like, you know, since it's filled with chocolate pudding, since it's filled with Jell-O. So the whole thing about, like, being naked in a bowl of Jell-O kind of thing is totally a thing.
Hey, I mean, in that case, it sounds like mostly clean fun. I mean, you end up with a bunch of Jell-O.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, if you're really into it, you can eat it.
Yeah, I was like, you know, if you take a shower beforehand and the pool's clean, you make the Jell-O in it, then the Jell-O's totally edible.
Yeah, I mean, whatever.
You wouldn't want to, like...
Well, you've always joked about the kiddie pool full of J-Lube. I have a small kiddie pool. We can do this.
We can just slip and slide like a bunch of sexy little otters.
fucking kill ourselves.
Yeah, that too.
It's like, what happened? Why did the podcast end? It's like, well, they decided to have some fun with J-Lube in a kiddie pool and they all fucking died. Because they stepped out of the kiddie pool and broke their fucking necks.
In fact, their heads were all tied together. We all fell into each other and our necks snapped around together.
The only thing about ever doing it is like, okay, you're done with it. How do you get rid of it?
Open up, big boy.
Yeah, the logistics of when you're done, now what, keeps popping in my head.
It's like, you can't really put it, you don't want to put it down a drain, and you don't want to put it down your bathtub, because then your bathtub will be a death trap.
Yeah.
You don't want to put it on the lawn.
J-Lube is in silicone, it's water soluble, so you can wash it off.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but where do you put that J-Lube? J-Lube
is the powder that you add water to, and it makes the lube. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so it becomes a giant water-based lube pile. So I imagine you could keep thinning it down and then eventually pour it out, but I don't know how damaging that is. I wouldn't want to dump it in on my lawn. It would probably kill my lawn.
Yeah, he walks out of the room for a second, come back in. Oh, no, that's Alex drinking the J-Lube pool.
Or you, like, you'd be real shitty and you take it to, like, a body of water, dump that shit in, and all the fish are just slipping out of the water onto the land.
Easiest dying fishing ever.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. That's an interesting logistical problem. If you could think of a way to dispose of 5 gallons of J-Lube after use, feel free to write into the show.
Call in your home warranty. It's like, hey, I filled my in-ground pool with J-Lube. Does my home warranty cover that? Like, asking for a friend.
Oh, God. Like, you have a pool and then your asshole friends just, like, dump several jars of J-Lube into your pool. You can never leave your pool.
You're like one of those Sims where they delete the ladder afterwards.
You try so hard, but you're so slippery.
Yeah, because I wanted to basically kiddie pool J-Lube and add, like, a couple of drops of some dye, like blue or green or something, so that it shows up better. I thought it would look neat, but what the fuck do you do with it later?
Look like a fucking naughty.
Well, it would not enough to stain you, but just enough to dye it so it shows up as something.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's about it. Also, actually, I was able to get a Nintendo Switch off of Amazon.
Finally.
Yeah, they did their, like, we have this exclusive cache of, like, 3 for Amazon Prime people, and I was able to get one of them.
3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't purchased any games for it yet. I played some demos, but I haven't bought anything for it yet because I'm doing car shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a Nintendo Switch. Yay! Don't have any games for it right yet.
Well, we got a roommate moving in August that has his own, so...
Yeah.
People don't no need to buy a second one, so...
Yeah. Well, I just need to pick up Zelda and play that shit, because... When we were setting up the Wii U's for Fiesta,
mm-hmm.
I literally went and purchased a copy, full price, was like $64, and I ended up playing like 25 hours worth of it before the con,
mm-hmm.
and it was just like, I wasn't focusing on the story, I was doing the dungeons and all this, exploring this shit, because I was like, I'm not going to be able to beat the game in this time frame. Hell, I'm not even going to get really into the story, I'm just going to play the shit out of the world, and I only saw, like, maybe a quarter of it.
So, Saverin.
Yeah?
I just saw this retweet, it's from 3 days ago, unfortunately, but William Shatner, the actual William Shatner verified account, says, I'm going to be over on 4chan/MLP if you need me. Winky face.
He had a bad time.
Did he actually go?
Yeah.
Oh.
He didn't have a very good time. So,
aww.
he was voiced in an episode recently. It was him and Felicia Day were also in the same episode. It was the Apple Family Parents episode, where it's just like, yeah, we're going to tell you the story about the Apple family's, like, Applejack and Big Macs and Applebloom's parents.
Mm-hmm.
Not the whole, like, they're not like, this is how they died, you know, but they, you know, they're totally fucking dead.
Mm-hmm.
And the old, like, the old counterpart to, like, Granny Smith was voiced by William Shatner, and Applejack's mom was voiced by Felicia Day.
Huh.
And basically it was there. It was a Romeo and Juliet kind of thing, like rival families, the pears and the apples, and that the two were star-crossed lovers from early days. And
aww.
It's a really, really, really cute episode. But the he was like, I'm going to interact with 4chan folks. That didn't work out very well for him. Just saying.
Yeah.
Like, 4chan has only gotten worse over time. Like, I have completely dropped that from my internet goings. And don't miss it, because it's just become an even worse shithole than it already was. It was never good. It's just gotten worse. And, like, he had a thread, and he, like, posted proof, and people were just... It was A, very slow, and B, just people were assholes to him, and he's like, wow, this didn't go too well. I mean, it's just further proof the fandom is waning for that show, which is probably just as well. I will not be sad at its demise. Because, man... It's one of those things where it's like you... This is, you know, our post-election shit reality. Mm-hmm. Like, where you find out that a lot of people that have been, like, big boosters and stuff are actually kind of shit people. Like, wow, this is what you really believe? And now that this has happened, you think it's totally cool to be this kind of racist asshole?
They're shit people. Like the Golgotha and Dava.
Yeah, they're Golgothans. And we don't have fucking consecrated golf clubs or anything. So, it's just been a very disappointing ending, more or less. But, you know, such is the nature of things. And at least here in the Furry Fandom, we can kick the shit out of the Nazis and make them know that they're not welcome.
It's like, actually, I wonder if you would have had a better time on the Reddit thread.
Probably. Like, if he'd gone over to, like, the Our My Little Pony, where it's actually moderated... He wouldn't have been, like, had people posting porn at him. Like, oh, look, oh, you're William fucking Shatner. Here, let me show you this picture of Granny Smith and old Pear and Grand Pear hate-fucking. Because, of course, people drew that.
Yeah. And, I saw people do AMAs on Reddit, right? They don't really do that on...
Yeah, they don't do shit on 4chan, because it's awful.
So it's Granny Smith and Grand Pear?
Yeah.
Grand Pear is... Like Pear.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's the Pear family and the Apple family.
Grand Pear. It's a grandpa, Grand Pear.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awful.
Yep. but it's William Shatner went to 4chan, didn't have a good time. Unsurprising. I mean, because back in the day, Lauren Faust showed up for a couple threads, and people were, A, very excited, and B, fairly respectful, because they had mods then, and that's not really the case anymore. So, you know, people used to joke about Scruffy and him pruning threads that didn't belong, but at least he did his job. Scruffy is just the generic name of the people gave to the moderators and janitors, because Scruffy's the name of the janitor from Futurama. I'm Scruffy.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna clean up this thread.
You should probably save for safety's sake.
Yep, because we are past an hour.
We're also afraid to touch the program in case it crashes.
Well, hang on to your butts! Hookah! Also, it didn't crash, so that's good.
Yay!
So, what else? I mean, shit, it's... Not a lot going on. We've got... Your next con is what? MFM?
MFM, yeah.
Yeah. And...
MFM, and then San Antonio Furry Invasion, and then Midwest Fur Fest. Well, not me personally at MFF. But,
yeah.
I'm going...
But to for Planet.
But for Planet, yes. And I'm going to both the other ones. So.
What, you're not going to come vend at Nightmare Nights and sell all your hot smut to the furries? Bronies?
You wouldn't let me.
Oh, I know. I will say, though, the Trocon's this weekend, and they've got, they allow adult art and stuff, because they run a lot closer to a furry con, and they'll actually probably outlast a number of these other conventions.
Yeah.
Because they're like, yo, we're just a furry con, except we're bronies that pretend we're not furries. But we totally have plenty of porn available, and Anthros.
Fernicorn would sell there, you know, because they're...
Well, they got Anthros and shit.
Well, it's a very single-minded fandom.
Yeah, well, also, like, Brabrand is there, and he's selling physical copies of Comic Relief.
Yeah.
Which is the Spike and Shining Armor fucking comic, which is really nice. And he's got all this other stuff that he's got going. There's another vendor that had, they did May and B from Night in the Woods Dockies. I showed you those.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, that's, they make Dakimakuras of everything now.
They should be cute, non-adult ones. I mean, yeah. They make adult ones
too? I'm sure that there are. Well, it's like, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, here's the cute clothes versions that I'll post on my public Twitter account, but I got some naked ones. So you want to get some gator tits or nightmare eyes.
Mm-hmm.
With like she's holding a bat, so it's like, yeah, that's great. We're gonna have 8 sex, and she's gonna bash my skull in. Yeah, this is hot.
Yeah, if you bash the head in the right place, the male goes into like just shuddering, pumping motions
before he dies. Yeah.
Before he dies, it makes her cum so much better.
Yeah,
and then she dumps the body.
That's better than, I mean, it's not like she's not a mantis. At least it doesn't eat the head.
And then time for another dream sequence.
Yep, let's. Do this weird platforming segment.
Where there's the tarantula.
Yep. The fish. And having to beat the shit out of a thing with a baseball bat.
That seems to come up a lot.
Yeah.
So I saw someone advertise this other really kind of unique docky where the character on it was wearing boxers, but you could undress the docky. There was like a pouch
that
you could pull down his boxers.
Yeah. There's some pretty advanced docky technology. There are actually ones where you can, like, have a fuck tube. That they're just uncommon. They're Japanese and generally underage anime girls, but they exist. You know, it's only a matter of time. And then, of course, we're talking Dakimakuras. There's, you know, I mentioned Brabrand earlier. He's got the Dakipakura, which is a macro... The one side is a macro wolf. And the other side is just a giant fucking paw pad.
Yeah.
So you can, like, hold it over your face and then drop it on you and have the genuine...
We might have talked about this last episode.
We did, but he also came out with the Daki Makara.
Yeah.
Which is a dragon's head on one side, and the other side is just its giant fucking mouth. So you can pretend to be Vord! Because, of course. And I'm sure he's just, like... Just waiting to make the Daki Kakura, which is like a macro like horse or macro wolf, and the other side is just a big fucking dick.
It's just Charizard's Kakura.
Yeah, I'm just giving these ideas away. Like, you know, I don't have the artistic talent, but hey, this other guy can draw some really good porn, so maybe.
And a Daki Kakura is filled with a bag dragon cum tube, so you have your friend, like, pump it all over you, or you squeeze the pillow too hard, it just explodes all over you.
Oh, God.
Like a partial balloon.
And hey, you pair it up with J-Lube, and just, like, there you go, splort.
They were like, I'm not getting the security deposit back on this apartment.
But that's okay. I wasn't anyway.
I'm getting a hotel room now. Wait, no, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that, kids. But yeah, con's coming up. We'll see.
What is this, July?
Yep, it's the middle of July. This weekend is the Evo fighting game tournament, and then, like, there's various other video game bullshit coming out. But, yeah, Summer Games done quick, wrapped up, raised, like, $2 million for Doctors nice. Without Borders. Or no, it was like 1.7. It was a significant amount. We talked about it last week, but this week it's wrapped up. And
so, on the subject of charity, shout out to Confuzzled.
Yeah.
Whose charity this year was the Badger Trust. And the Badger Trust is a UK charity that does a lot of work with badgers and trying to... A lot of stop the cull advocacy and things like that. I'm sure you guys have heard of the Badger Cull issue.
Yeah, where they just basically like, sup, bitch, and just blow them away.
Yeah, for no fucking reason.
Yeah, it's like, there's too many badgers, not enough mushrooms.
No, it's the... God damn it. The science behind why they're doing it is very shaky, and a lot of like animal activists have actually been like, this is not going to solve... the problem that they're having. But anyway, they raised £11,000
That's cool.
For the Badger Trust.
Good. That's like 5 million US, right?
Yeah. It's probably like 16,000,
18,000 or something
like that. It's like... It's a decent amount of money, definitely.
350 post-Brexit.
Shit.
That's good. I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Badgers are cute and oft maligned, but no...
And angry.
Yes. They're the cutest balls of anger.
And little snoot beasts.
Yep. Ah, goodness me. It's nearly 10 o'clock, guys.
Yep.
And we are old.
Yeah.
So we should probably wrap this up. So if you would like to give your feedback on any of the topics discussed this episode, feel free to write in at notcastfoxf.com. If you have some topic ideas you'd like to hit, you can check us out on our Patreon, patreon.com/notcast. You can find me on Twitter at SavinDrake. And what about y'all?
You can find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf. You can also go to fuzzwolf.com, where I've got a list of all my my furry publishing websites and Twitters and stuff like that.
And I'm Chimera, both on Telegram and on Twitter, Khymaera. You can find us in our Notcast channel. I'm usually there lurking. I may not say much, but I'm usually there. That's the primary place you'll find me these days.
Saverin forwarded me some excellent Fluttershy from the Notcast channel.
Yep, it's generally alright. Except there's occasionally some dumbasses. It's like one of those, halfway kind of want to just like restart it. Like, nuke the channel, launch it, relaunch it, and see who comes back in. Because, like, you have all these people, like, they joined once and never, like, looked at it again. It's like, cull the numbers so we have an actual, like, this is the number of active people versus...
I wouldn't. It's, you know,
yeah, it's also, plus it has such a legacy of pornography.
Yeah, you would lose all that porn.
Let's see, how many images does it have?
A fuck ton.
Yeah, well, I'm looking.
It's only like 700 or something.
There's a lot of fucking porn.
Well, I'm trying to find an image here, because someone's like, yo, check out all this fucking metal. And by metal, I mean, like, music and shit.
Oh.
The, come on. My phone is, like, freaking the fuck out, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
If you go and look into the channel, it's just, like, 18,000 images or something like that.
Jesus, okay.
But it's, pretty crazy.
Oh, fuck. Jeff Sessions.
So, alright, there is an image. Let's click on it and make it fucking load. Ah, this is some great audio.
Mm-hmm.
18,714 images.
Jesus.
Over the course of however long this Telegram chat's been around. So, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to our Fur Affinity page, Notcast, you can find the link to join.
Oh, so, I don't know if I mentioned it before, but there was a comic that I bought a little while ago, called Garbage Night. That I think was kind of a mainstream comic. I'm not sure how well known it is. But it's like, it has Anthro Animals in it, but I followed the artist because I liked her art style. She's Repog Host on Twitter. REPOGHOST. It turns out she's an actual furry and she loves the fandom.
Cool.
So I was like, oh, cool, because she was tweeting about trying on a fursuit for the first time, how much she liked it. I was like, I didn't know you knew about the fandom. She's like, I love drawing furries.
Yay!
So that's nice. It's a good comic too. You should check it out.
What was it? What was it?
Garbage Night.
Garbage Night.
Yeah, and it's sort of like a post-apocalyptic kind of feel, where the animals that are left behind after all the humans are gone. Like the little pet dog is still living in his backyard, and like two other woodland creatures like break him out, and they're like, we're gonna go over to this garbage night, hasn't happened in a long time, so we're gonna go over to this other town, and then they go on this little quest to try to get to the next town. It's like, yeah, they're running away from the bigger boys, who are like the larger predators, basically. Like, it's a really neat style. It sort of reminds me of Night in the Woods. Like, the style is not the same at all, but in a way it kind of evokes that same sort of thought. guess. Yeah. But yeah, it's a real neat style. So.
Cool.
I enjoyed that.
So, all right. Well,
that's my one cool thing, really.
My one cool thing was, so I subscribed to an app on Android. I've got no idea if it's on iOS, called Webtoon. It has a whole bunch of different subsidiaries on it, and I read a whole bunch of them. I discovered a couple of really good ones through it, too. Well, they posted...
What kind of app is it?
Just say Comic Reader.
Oh, okay. All right.
There's a couple of really good series on there. Hmm. And they posted like an announcement, push notification the other day about, hey, people have been reporting / flagging a whole bunch of LGBT comics. And, you know, after a little while, the automated, that kicks in the automated thing and takes it down. And it's like, guys, this is for like reporting pornography and, you know, illegal shit and all this. It's not to try and to, basically get the gays.
Mm-hmm.
We are an inclusive thing. So we are going to be keeping a very close eye on this. Stop it.
Yeah.
Because this is not cool.
Yeah. Good.
So basically people were spamming and trying to get succeeding because of the algorithms to take down gay comics. And they did a not cool guys post. So good on them.
Good deal.
Yeah. There are a couple of really good gay comics on there too. So...
Mm.
That was my one cool thing.
Okay. So I guess that's all the info and stuff.
Yep.
I'll wrap that up. Yep. So on that note.
Good night.
And.
Yeah, I said on that note. You said good night. You have to finish it.
I do.
Yes.
Like a slice of cake. And big balls.
It's over.